Jason Lockenfora, NFL Insider, is brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. The giant sales event is on now. Get 0% financing, no payments until August 2021, three free payments, and more. At the giant, Country Hills Toyota.
Different position the last couple of these where we got blown out and didn't really have a chance. You know, they went up three scores. We battled back with a couple scores. Defense came up with some big turnovers. And, you know, we had a lot of chances. So, overall, just pretty gutted.
Yeah, that man is pretty gutted, and I would imagine still reeling after another loss in the NFC title game, his fourth straight and first one at home, and certainly does not feel any better knowing that you're on the wrong side for the second consecutive year in the NFL's Final Four. Welcome back to the Big Show. My name is Will Nault. The matchup is set for Super Bowl 55 in Tampa Bay, Florida. It's the Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have that game live for you right here on Sportsnet 960 on Sunday, February 7th. And this man will be, I don't know if he'll be in Tampa. I don't know what the COVID rules are, but the man works for CBS. His network's got the game. He's our NFL insider. He's Jason Lockenfora. Jay, are you going to Tampa? How does that work this year?
I am. It won't be quite like a normal Super Bowl week. I'm going Thursday.
Okay.
And we'll be back Monday. So there won't be all the pomp and circumstance like normal, not a normal media week, not a normal press conference, everything. In that regard, will be virtual. So and obviously for Tampa, they're not going anywhere. They're at their home all week. And you won't see the Chiefs in town till probably Saturday. So, yeah, it's a little different, but obviously it's a game that I think, you know, the NFL probably couldn't have scripted this any better if they tried at the beginning of the season. And when they kick it off, yeah, it won't be normal crowd and everything else, but the fact that Tampa's playing at home and it's these two tremendous quarterbacks and it's one team trying to repeat for the first time, you know, since anybody's done it in 03, 04. And the last quarterback to do it is on the other sidelines. It's pretty wild. But, yeah, I won't be leaving my hotel room much other than our rehearsals and then the NFL Today pregame show. I think we're on for 4 hours leading up to kickoff at 6 Eastern. I guess that's four your guys' time.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And you're right. I don't think the NFL could have scripted this any better in terms of a storyline going into this one. And you know, there's a lot of different directions. And we don't have to break the game down right now because we're going to talk to you again before the game, obviously. But just starting there, because you mentioned it, I know Bruce Arians has talked about it as well. Maybe this year with COVID and the fact that the Chiefs aren't coming into town until Saturday, maybe that plays even more into it, Jay. But Bruce Arians says he sees it as a massive advantage to play at home. What about you?
We've never seen it before in the Super Bowl, so it's not like there's any historical context. But, I mean, common sense would say, creature comforts, practicing in your own facility all week, having 2 weeks where it really is like your normal schedule. And it's not going to be very different for the Chiefs. For the Chiefs, it's only going to be like a normal road game. So it's not like they're having to use somebody else's facility all week. It's not like they're going to be hounded by the media. It's not going to be any media except for whatever they do on Zoom, which would be the same as the Bucks. But I guess being in your own locker room, being able to sleep in, well, you won't sleep in your own bed, but you'll sleep in the team hotel that you guys stay in before every game. Sure. Look, in the age of COVID, rather be home or on a plane. You'd rather be home. But this is certainly not a whole lot normal about this whole circumstance.
Well, so we'll save the talk about the Chiefs and the Bucs for another time, Jay, but let's go back to Sunday. A lot of people are talking about it. You wrote a piece on it. The biggest talking point is Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. It was obviously a very visible, and you could tell by the quotes, if you didn't see the body language on Rodgers, it was just pure frustration. I know he spoke again today, walked back some of those comments, but still didn't really confirm he was going back. How do you read the situation with Rodgers and maybe his feelings towards the Packers front office staff and the lack of support he's maybe received the last couple of years?
I think he's leaving himself ample wiggle room. I think he's going to watch how they proceed. Are they going to be willing to adjust his contract or, you know, talk to him at all about their plans for him? Are they going to keep Aaron Jones? Are they going to make an upgrade at left tackle because David Bakhtiari is going to be coming back off a significant injury and maybe not ready for the start of the year? Are they going to add receivers for him? You know, what's the plan there? How many starters are we losing on defense? How much are you going to spend in free agency? Do I have a window to win with these guys next year? Because by year three, it's Jordan Love, no matter what they say, no matter how much anybody protests. That kid's not sitting 3 years like Aaron Rodgers did. You don't trade up into the first round without getting a look at that kid by year three. And then we'll see, does Aaron Rodgers feel like going nuclear? And if he doesn't like the way it's shaping up here, decide that the grass is greener somewhere else. And if he does, he will have no shortage of suitors. And I was getting calls and texts from personnel people and one NFL head coach within an hour of his whole, you know, display on Sunday night. So I don't know what message he thinks he was sending, but the message that people were interpreting, and by people I mean offensive coordinators, head coaches, general managers, they were interpreting that whole act as somebody come get me. I'm way open to getting out of here. Who wants Aaron Rodgers? I just saw what Tom Brady did when he left Dodge, when he went somewhere where the cupboard was more loaded, and now he ended my season and he's 5 years older than me. Now you're right. He tried to kind of walk some of it back on Pat McAfee's show, and that's his buddy, and there's not going to be a whole lot of pushback there. And, you know, that's a nice soft landing spot for him. But, you know, even then he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. Well, I mean, there's nothing absolute. No, bro, you got a contract for next year. They said they want you back. You could say I'm absolutely playing for the Packers next year. And hopefully they let me fulfill my contract. That's not what he's saying.
And I know he was pissed about it on Sunday. He made reference to it. He didn't even answer the question on Pat McAfee's show today. But and some of the coaching decisions, like I would imagine you sitting there with your CBS colleagues had the same thought. I mean, why is LaFleur kicking a field goal with 2.5 minutes to go?
Yeah, I mean, look, the bottom line is that people can try to pretend there's nothing to see here, but other coaches, people close to that situation have felt like Aaron Rodgers has been sizing LaFleur up the entire time. And really, if you just look at him and you pay attention to anything that's said or his body language or anything else, you know, it was clear season one was very much a work in progress. And he was only throwing the ball 22, 25 times a game. They were running it a ton. It was kind of like he was having all he wanted was a game manager. And year two, the shackles were off and Rodgers carried them, but they didn't do anything to make life easier around him. The coach had a hand in picking his replacement only 1 year into the relationship with the coach. And now the coach is managing the game, biggest game of his career and one of the biggest games of Aaron Rodgers' career, as if he doesn't have one of the greatest players in the history of the game and arguably the greatest Green Bay Packer, which is saying something for that storied franchise. And he's got a cockamamie idea about kicking a field goal and giving them field position back and then trying to get a stop. He looked like a young coach who was over his skis. And when he got hired, there were a lot of people in the league who felt like, wow, that was really fast. Is he really going to be able to withstand someone as cerebral, someone as cunning, someone as calculated as Aaron Rodgers, who does not suffer fools? And if he perceives you to be a fool, you will know about it and the rest of the world will know about it. And his comments after that game, I mean, just go read the quote sheet. It wasn't exactly stand by your man. It was, not how I would have managed it. It's his call. I guess I understand. I mean, I thought we were going to have four downs. That's why I didn't run it. I don't think things are rosy there.
He's Jason Lockenfora, NFL Insider for CBS Sports, CBSSports.com, every Tuesday and Friday here on Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. On the AFC title game, what went wrong for the Bills on Sunday, Jay? And is this the beginning of something special in Buffalo?
I mean, it certainly could be. I mean, the problem for everybody in the AFC is you can't have anything all that special unless you get by Kansas City, and Kansas City already has something special. I mean, all Patrick Mahomes knows is I start games and we go to the championship game and we host it. And two of those 3 years, we go to the Super Bowl, and the only year we didn't, we were an offsides penalty away from going. So that's a thing. And the Buffaloes and the Baltimores and, you know, whoever else you think, Tennessee, if you think Miami's on the come, you know, if you think Pittsburgh will get it sorted out, that's fine. You're still going to have to try to find a way to be one game better than the Kansas City Chiefs. But yeah, I like the foundation they've built there. What went wrong? They had no answers for Kelce and Tyreek Hill, which, hey, that can happen to the best of them. The offensive line had issues with the pass rush and the blitz situations that Steve Spagnuolo threw at them. The quarterback came up a little small, held the ball too long, took some really sort of naive sacks, and, you know, threw one pick, could have thrown four. The reality for Josh Allen was they live and die with big plays. It's a big play offense. They got a few to keep the chains moving against the Colts. They got none against the Ravens, but their defense pitched a shutout. And they got none until it was garbage time against the Chiefs. So that's not going to be good enough, you know, for them, because they don't run the ball a lick. And when you're playing a team like the Chiefs, you can't, you know, go up 9-0 and have them score the next 30 points or whatever. So it's a learning experience, but I mean, the cold, cruel reality of this league is, in many cases, last year buys you nothing for that upcoming season. And I just feel like the AFC, man, you just had this whole Tom Brady thing that spanned two decades. And now this kid in Kansas City is only 25 years old. I think you're going to have to pick your spots and try to get in there, you know, once in 10 years like Flacco did, and, you know, twice in 15 years like Roethlisberger did. It's going to be, again, it's going to be a thing. I don't think Kansas City's going away anytime soon.
Just quickly on the Chiefs, as I say, we'll have more time to talk about them ahead of next Sunday's game in Tampa. But just quickly, how significant is the loss of Eric Fisher and the fact they're not going to have both tackles against that Tampa front?
It's significant. And remember, your fellow Canadian, Lawrence Hardeef, he opted out for the year. So now that's three starters who aren't there from last year's Super Bowl team. You're talking about, you know, Stefan Wisniewski, who you thought would be a depth guy, having to play every snap. Some seventh rounders, you know, at guard, at center. You're talking about Mike Remmers, who, had a hell of a time holding up in other places as a right tackle, now having to play left tackle. I think it's a real significant thing, especially with the kind of pass rush the Bucs are getting, especially with, you know, Todd Bowles knowing he's got 2 weeks to prepare for this thing. And, you know, Fisher's not coming back in the building, and Schwartz is not coming back in the building. And even with those two, some had issues about the interior offensive line and how they succumbed to pressure. And Vita Vea's got 2 weeks to get healthier now. And Dominican Sue has played strong football down the stretch. And we know they have two guys who can come off the edge, and Barrett and Pierre Paul, and they can activate those linebackers as well. And Levante David and the kid White run as good as anybody in the league. So, I think if you start looking at mitigating factors and how the floor gets kind of the ground gets evened out between the old goat and the young goat, I would say Patrick Mahomes would love to switch places with Tom Brady when it comes to the state of those two offensive lines.
No doubt. He is Jason Lacken for us, CBS Sports, CBSSports.com. A few more for you, Jay. First off, speaking of quarterbacks and big names and in the AFC, let's go to your neck of the woods. I'm sure it's been a conversation on your radio show every single day. But it feels like, from afar anyways, the Ravens are not messing around when it comes to a Lamar Jackson extension. What do you expect there? And maybe what do you expect it to potentially look like when it comes to a new deal?
Well, this is interesting because he does not have representation. You know, so when the GM, Eric DaCosta, has a press conference, he says, I'm going to call Lamar in the next 10 days. Like, he doesn't mean Lamar's guy. He means Lamar. You know, is Lamar talking to Patrick Mahomes and falling in love with that 10-year structure he has. How much is Lamar talking to the NFLPA to get guidance? As of right now, he hasn't really at all. I would strongly urge him to change that by the time he does start negotiating. Does he hire an agent at some point in the process, or at least a sports lawyer to consult with? Those are big ifs. You're going to have a hard time reminding me of the last time we're talking about a deal of this magnitude at the quarterback position and the players representing himself. So that's certainly quirky. But, I mean, $39, $40 million should be the magic number. I don't see a whole lot of ways around that. And will he be much more open to a sort of bizarre salary structure or contract structure than most? I mean, I'm remembering when Master P did the deal for Ricky Williams, and it ended up being incredibly team friendly. I don't know. You know, I don't know how all that's going to shake out. Not that the Ravens want to take advantage of this kid, but, you know, this is why most people have agents. So it'll be an interesting offseason here, to say the least, but they're committed to keeping him around, and the price of doing business should be right around $40 million a year.
End of an era in Detroit. It sounds like things are already moving on Matt Stafford, yes, and a dismissal with the Lions. Jay, what do you expect that market to look like? I know that I talked to you about it. I keep thinking that, you know, Indy is a slam dunk, but what about you? Yeah. What do you see as Matt Stafford in a fit?
I think Indy is right at the top of the list. They're ready to make a move. You know, they jumped on DeForest Buckner to anchor their defense a year ago, got that deal done within a couple of days of the Giants. The 49ers putting him on the open market. They've been watching this Stafford situation very closely. I don't think Chris Ballard, their GM, will flinch at all about trading this year's one and something else. They think they're a Matt Stafford away, and they might be. You know, look, the Washington football team, the Carolina Panthers, the 49ers, the Patriots, there's a number of teams you could make the argument for, and that will monitor this thing. But the Colts really feels like a fit to me. It's a dome team. He's used to playing in a dome. They need a left tackle. They could always add another receiver, but they can run the ball. They can play defense. Stafford hasn't had a whole lot of that going on for him in his career. They add a decent left tackle. The rest of the line is studly. I like the way Pittman came on this year. You know, they'll probably keep T.Y. Hilton around on a short-term deal. And when he's healthy, he can still make plays. And I don't think they'll shy away from adding a wide receiver as well, maybe in free agency, especially if they don't have to make any major alterations to Stafford's deal. It's basically like taking the same money you were paying Phillip Rivers and giving it to Stafford. So if you're going to tell me, like, I don't know, if I was, you know, running that team and I asked Matt Stafford about Galladay, and I don't think that the Lions are going to tag Galladay, given the way they are, you know, kind of reshaping that organization and trying to get younger and cheaper. Or if they do tag him, it'll be with an eye towards a trade. Put those two together with T.Y. Hilton in the slot. They got Doyle, right? They've got a couple of tight ends who are
Pittman.
Fine. You got Pittman on the outside as another sort of intermediate guy to move the chains. You know, he's not a deep speed guy. Galladay certainly is. With the way they run the ball, and the way they play defense, I'll buy that.
Looks like you and I just made a fit, my friend. Final one for you. I know that certainly it feels like not, you know, we get these rumors every offseason, but for whatever reason, this one seems to be a little more hot and heavy. I'm curious your read on it, because whether it's Stafford, Deshaun Watson, the guy we started off talking about, Aaron Rodgers, Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, you name it. I mean, the quarterback market as a whole, Jay, do you expect this to dominate the offseason?
I do, but it did last year as well. You know, I think we were prisoner of the moment. I mean, last year, Tom Brady changed teams. I mean, you know, Drew Brees thought about retiring and came back. Cam Newton changed teams. Jameis Winston changed teams. You know, lesser degree, you had Foles, you had Dalton, you had all the kids. You know, you had a draft class again, which, I mean, you know, and you're probably going to see five in the first round this year. You know, but you had that activity. So it was last year was the craziest I can remember. And this year will probably be right there with it. Garoppolo, what does New England end up doing? What does New Orleans end up doing? Does John Gruden now with all these other things swirling around, does he try to get in the mix? And then does that mean he flops Carr? There's the potential for a lot of activity.
Final one, Jay, just before we let you go, any update on the Houston Texans coaching search?
I would suspect it comes to a head very soon. I have been placing my bets on Leslie Frazier. I think that's which way the wind was blowing. You know, he met there today. I know they're talking to David Culley as well, but David Culley is someone who's worked with Leslie Frazier in the past. There may be a way to get David Culley on the staff in an offensive coordinator type role. Leslie Frazier as the head coach, keep Tim Kelly, the quarterback coach, in place, who Deshaun Watson really likes, and then, you know, try to appeal to Deshaun Watson in that way. They had two interviews with Jim Caldwell, so he's in the mix, and they obviously talked to Eric Bieniemy once, although I've never really gotten the feeling that that's the way the wind is blowing. But yes, I would expect that to be resolved very soon.
Jay, good stuff, man. Fantastic today. Enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL Insider, is brought to you by the giant Country Hills Toyota. Get savings up to 20% on remaining 2020s and $5,000 off new 2021s. It's the giant sales event on now at Country Hills Toyota.